Cape Talk. Cape Talk, the US Report, with Adrian Brune.
The US Report with Adrian Bruni. To you listening at home, we do this every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, where we take a look at what's happening in the United States. Adrian, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Abs. How are things going?
We live in interesting times, Adrian. We live in interesting time. You know, you've got your Donald Trump. We've got our own president, where every day we've got to be discussing, we've got to be talking about him. But it's a stressful process. But nonetheless, I think we understand some Americans are perhaps feeling when it comes to Donald Trump. But nonetheless, let's talk about the White House plans to replace their Secretary of State.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Multiple media reports claim there's a White House plan to replace Secretary of State Rex Tillerson with CIA Director Mike Pompeo. That would cap off a turbulent year for Tillerson, the former CEO of ExxonMobil, whose tenure has been marred by public tensions with President Donald Trump and a sharp criticism of how he's run the State Department. Pompeo, meanwhile, has proven himself kind of a loyal trooper of Trump's national security team. Still, it's unclear whether the president has approved the plan, which has been reportedly assembled by White House Chief of Staff John Kelly. But we all seem to know that when there are rumors flying around like this, something's bound to happen, and tomorrow is Friday, and that's usually when heads start to roll. So
I like how you say it. You know, where there's smoke, there will always be a fire. But nonetheless, Korea has said to the USA, whatever you do, though, you better figure it out. What is it that the US needs to figure out?
That's right. Well, they should probably figure out who the next Secretary of State is going to be, because Korea, in its first missile test since September, Pyongyang claims to have fired a new type of intercontinental ballistic missile that could strike anywhere in the United States. The missile reportedly flew higher and longer than previous attempts. Now, tensions have spiked between Washington and North Korea after Trump officially designated the country a state sponsor of terrorism a week ago. Yet he promised to handle the situation. Nonetheless, the UN Security Council met on Wednesday to discuss the crisis, and the U.S. has asked the Security Council to call on all nations to cut ties with North Korea, severing diplomatic relations, enforcing UN sanctions, and limiting military, scientific, technical, and commercial cooperation. Now, here is a clip of U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, sort of laying down the law. We'll see if the other countries stick to it. But here you go, Apps.
Last time we spoke in the Security Council about North Korea's development of nuclear weapons, the United States made clear that the future of North Korea was in the hands of its leaders. If they chose the path of peace, the world would live in peace with them. But if they chose the path of defiance, we would respond appropriately. The choice, we said, was theirs. Yesterday, the North Korean regime made a choice. It chose to feed its nuclear aggression. It chose to thumb its nose at the civilized world. It chose to challenge the patience of a world united against its recklessness. And with this choice comes a critical decision point for the rest of the world.
Okay, and then...
So, I don't know about thumbing noses, but I think they're doing a little bit more than thumbing noses, but we'll see if Nikki Haley gets her request from the Security Council.
And, you know, I couldn't believe it. When I saw the reports in CNN, I thought to myself, get out of town. Not so soon. There's no way you could do that. I mean, President Donald Trump, I mean, what was this last, a couple of days ago, calling one of the, you know, native Indian representatives, Pocahontas. I thought, okay, this is one of the worst things he could have done ever. But you're telling me he didn't stop there?
No. All in 1 week, all in a matter of tweets, Abs. It's a good thing your president doesn't have Twitter or doesn't like Twitter. So he'll retweet, but Donald Trump will not retreat. After President Trump retweeted three unverified videos from a French-British fascist group purporting to show Muslim violence, a spokesperson for Downing Street, Prime Minister Theresa May, said it was wrong for him to endorse such content. Trump responded with a tweet to Theresa May, rebuking her and telling her to focus on radical Islamic terrorism instead. So when the veracity of the retweeted videos, which are still on Donald Trump's page, was questioned, only White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders and white supremacist David Duke will defend Trump. Here is a clip of Sarah Huckabee Sanders diving in, I guess, to the rationale of the president in retweeting those anti-Muslim videos.
Can you explain, though, how retweeting those videos promotes border security?
Look, I think...
Has he substantiated any of them? Does he know any background?
We're talking about border security right now. We're talking about the need for it. So I think that it's accomplishing exactly that.
But is it important to verify those videos before he tweets them?
Look, I think it's important to talk about national security and national security threats. The president sees different things to be a national security threat, and he sees having strong borders as being one of the things that helps protect people in this country from some real threats that we face.
Does he endorse this group that tweeted this out, this woman?
Not that I'm aware of, but I think he does, like I just said, he does endorse a strong national security, and he certainly endorses strong borders, which is something that he's talked about repeatedly and something that he had hoped to talk about with Democrats yesterday.
Does he worry?
Now, I don't know where she came up with that one, likening retweeting these videos to strong border security and likening making the correlation between Britain First, which is known for its anti-Islamic acts such as harassing Muslim women on the street. They've done all kinds of things in the UK. So for her to say that is a little bit of a stretch, but we'll see if he takes them down. Doubtful, but so it's just the latest furor over Twitter.
I have to give it to her. She has a way, she must love her job. I have to say, I would have already been like, no, thank you. I can't do this anymore. Nonetheless, let's talk about the Grammys, the Grammy voting. What's the latest very quickly?
Sure. So No Country, No Country Music. That was the message as hip hop and R&B dominated the 2018 Grammy nominations. And No Country Artist was nominated for the first time since 2004, which is a switch some attribute to the new online voting process. Now, diversity abounded. For the first time, none of the Album of the Year nominees were white men. Meanwhile, every nominee for Record of the Year was a person of color, and Despacito became the first Spanish language song nominated for Song of the Year. The winners will be announced January 28th. So it should be quite an interesting lineup.
Yeah.
No country music. Everyone's tired of it. I'm not a big fan either, Ab, so I'm okay with that. Even though I'm Oklahoma.
Adrian, I'm a very big supporter of affirmative action, broad-based economic empowerment and all of that. But I worry whenever I don't know whether we are celebrating, maybe I'm on the wrong foot here, but when we celebrate that there is no white person nominated for the Album of the Year, I worry about that statement just a little bit. Because as much as I don't want black people excluded, I also don't want us to celebrate when it's only one race or it's a specific race that has been omitted. I'm for an all-inclusive. I don't know whether it's because it sounds wrong or I'm trying to sound as if I'm smart, but there's just something that's not sitting well with me there. But yeah, nonetheless.
I think you raise an excellent point. I hadn't even thought about it.
Yeah,
that
there's
way.
There's something that doesn't
Thank
sit
you
with
very
me
much.
There. But nonetheless, Adrian.
That's true.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. We will chat again next week.
Sounds great, Abs. Looking forward, as always.
Thank you so much. And I mean, to you at home, you can disagree with me, but I'm just saying, the whole issue of celebrating the fact that there's no white individual or white individual being nominated for the Album of the Year, the Grammys, I don't think that's something to celebrate. Because all it does now is it's turning tables all around the other way around. No white people, now it's all black dominated. What happens then? White people are saying, no, we need to turn this around again. Boom. It's all white people, no black. It's a cycle that will never end. I think we should be pushing for an all-inclusive nomination process. Nonetheless, Fiso.